such a privilege and a honor to speak to us tonight. I say this with all humility, and trust me on that one. Friday services are particularly important because when we have Sunday services, we talk about different subjects, pastor leads on that. But Friday services are particular about the word of the month, because it's quite easy to start the month with the trumpet night, and as the month goes along, things happen, and you could easily forget to pray about how the month started, and kind of lose focus. But on Friday nights, what we do, we bring it back home. So I'm so glad that we're all here tonight to see how we could bring this back home. We started at the beginning of the month with Pastor Angela, and then we had Pastor Femi last week. I just want to continue from where they stopped, looking at it from a different dimension. But I think the first thing that we need to do is go back to, so those of you who probably know, I've got a new Bible. It's a lot smaller. That means my sins are smaller, apparently. The bigger your Bible, the bigger your sins. So, you know, I will get there sooner or later. And this Bible is quite good. Now, I miss the old one because the fronts are quite big. And like you know, I'm getting old, so my eyes are getting a bit dodgy. But this one, at least, it hasn't got those Dow art and stuff in it. It's a new NIV version, so it's kind of easy for me to follow. So hopefully you'll understand every scripture that I read tonight. if you go back to the scripture which we started the month with, which is Hebrews 11:6, and I think I need to go there myself, except it comes up. So if you go to Hebrews 11:6, okay, and it reads, "And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. And he rewards," that's the key word there, "he rewards those who earnestly seek him." But I think apart from the spiritual reward, the key word again is the word earnestly. So it's not just seeking him, but doing it earnestly with all our strength, with all our minds, making sure that we actively seek God. I think that's the key thing here tonight. And that's what I really want to focus on. So we're going to be looking at that subject. However, I need to say this quickly. So every Sunday in particular, when I sit down over there, I'll get a message from the guys in the box, especially when Pastor Eddie is preaching, and they'll send me a message saying, "What's the title of Pastor Eddie's message?" Because many times Pastor Eddie will start preaching and there's no title. So I'll say to them, "Give me 5 minutes, let me just listen to him, and I'll give you a title." And I usually do. So I think last Sunday, I didn't look at my phone because I decided to handwrite my notes in Bookie's book. And I'll get commission for any sales she makes. So I didn't see my phone. So this message came saying, "What's Pastor Eddie's message? What's the title of Pastor Eddie's message?" I thought, I didn't see it. Then that's the second time. And then it thought, and you could see they were getting angrier and angrier. "Can you just tell me?" So I thought, okay, let me give you a title. So I said, "The title of Pastor Eddie's message is, I love Ayo more than I love Boston." Don't be fooled by the fact that, it's a very long title. Don't be fooled by the fact that Boston sits next to Pastor and Ayo sits furthest away from Pastor. And I thought, okay, so let me send it. But I thought, it's a bit long, isn't it? So I thought, I won't send it. So I thought, I'll just kind of listen for another 5 minutes and send them a research, which I did. So on that note, I'll give you the title of my message, which is Earnestly Seeking. It's quite short. It's quite direct. It's something that you can easily remember. So tonight, I want us to look at the life of a gentleman in the Bible, and I want us to see how, what happened to him, and how his life panned out, and what he did in terms of seeking God earnestly, and the reward that he had at the end of it. So if you go to 2 Kings 20, it's a scripture that we know all too well, 2 Kings 20, and I'm going to read from verse 1. "In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover." So I'm going to dwell on that a little bit later. But before I talk about the end bit, which is that he's going to die and he's not going to recover, let's see what this gentleman did before. So if we go backwards or forwards, backwards to chapter 16, the same book, chapter 16, and I just want to look at this gentleman's life. So 16 from verse 1, I think, yes, from verse 1. In the 16th year of Pekah, son of Remaliah, Azar, the son of, so I have to turn my Bible around, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. Azar was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 16 years. Unlike David, his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He followed the ways of the kings of Israel and even sacrificed his son in the fire. What is terrible that? Engaging in the despicable practices of the nations of the Lord, the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. So that's Asa. Now, he happens to be Ezekiah's dad. Now, one thing that I kind of am particular about is the example that he's seen, the example that Ezekiah has seen through his dad. Now, personally speaking, I grew up loving my dad to bits. He's the best man that I know. I just love him. He can't do any wrong, even though he's done a lot of wrongs, but for me, he can't do a lot of wrong. So I followed in his footsteps quite a lot growing up. You could call me whatever you want to, but you dare not raise your voice against my dad. I just used to go mad because I just loved him to bits. And you could imagine the relationship that this guy probably had with his dad. And he saw his dad do all these atrocities. And that means he had to consciously make a change to his life, because that's the example that he saw. Now, the question I need to ask is this. What examples do we follow? That's a decision that we make, and nobody could help us make those decisions. Now, on Wednesday, we had our Connect group meeting. It was quite fun, actually, this particular week. And we spoke about temptation. And while we were having that discussion, we were almost ending. Our leader is JP. So she was going to pray. We were going to end the session. And then Uncle George said, George Stone said, that he wants to talk about temptation. That if you love who you're following, you will never fall into temptation. So for instance, if you love God, there's no way you fall into temptation, because you love him so much that you always want to do what will please him. And he said that, for instance, he started eating healthy because of his wife. Now, because he loves his wife so much, he will go out and buy leaves and eat. So I stopped him. I said, "Come, Uncle George, please. You're getting old. These leaves will not do you any good." I said, "For me and my household, we eat proper food. Say, for instance, on Friday tonight, when I finish from here, I'm going to get into my car, and I'm going to drive straight to McDonald's. If it's payday, I'll go to Burger King." And when I get home, I'll call home before I get there. And I say, "What do you want?" And they tell me, and I just buy all sorts. Get home, I sit on the floor, and open my Big Mac burger thing, and then lay all the chips on the floor, and I watch Graham Norton show while I'm eating, and I love it. I'm following that with I've changed though. I've now gone for Coke Zero. That's an improvement, at least. So I said to Uncle George, I said, "Please, stop eating leaves. They're not good for you. I know you love your wife dearly, but let me take you. I'll come to my house.
I'll make you Nigerian food. The food that you will eat and go home and sleep. But on a more serious note, he does that because he loves his wife and he genuinely wants to please her, and for that he eats leaves. On Sunday, the last two Sundays, I've been getting home kind of late, later than usual, because we have the Speakers Club. Now, many of you might not know, we have a Speakers Club. It's an amazing thing. If you can join, please do. And they have they had this competition last Sunday, Sunday before, and last Sunday, and I was one of the judges. I don't know what they were thinking, but I was one of the judges, and because of that, I got home late. So on last Sunday gone, when I got home, my auntie-in-law, my wife's aunt, she came. She's with us spending 2 weeks. She's peaceful, so it's okay. So she's spending 2 weeks with us. And then when I walked in about 4:30, and she said, "What time is this?" And I said, 4:30. She said, "Why are you so late? What time did you go to church today?" I said, left about just before 9:00. And you come back 9:00. She said, "That's your whole day. How can you spend the whole day in church?" And then the wife too put her own two-piece into it and starts telling me, "You know, that's what they do. They go to church all day." I said, "What's your problem? I love it. If I have to stay till 6:00, so be it. It doesn't take anything from you. I'm home now, so just enjoy my company." When you love something truly, you do whatever you need to do to just be part of it. If you love God truly, nobody will force you to seek him earnestly. So one of the things that we need to do as Christians, as believers, if we really want to get that reward, is to love him wholeheartedly. Talking about rewards, I don't know about you, I love rewards. I love to be rewarded. I love to be awarded. I love just getting awards. I worked for this company for so many years, and once a year, we have what we call the staff conference. So about 2,000 people that work for this company, but we're dotted all over. So once a year, we come together, go to a big conference, and then we have our staff conference. And one of the major parts of that staff conference is dishing out awards. So they say, "This person did this," and they come out, and then everybody claps for them. And I'm sitting there thinking, one day, I will do nothing, and they'll give me an award. Just because they like me, they'll give me awards. It never happened. First year, second year, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. Give me an award now. Then one day, I was on holiday actually, and I went through my emails, and I just saw an email from work that I've been nominated to get an award. Praise God. Maybe it will happen. They were nominated before. It's never happened. And then when I got back, I was told I was going to win an award. Can you imagine? It was so good. I just felt so good. The award was amazing. The money was even better. But some of you would have seen my reaction when I won the Pastor's Award last year. I was so happy. To be honest with you, none of you know this, but I've been wanting that award for a long time. Every single year, we say, me too. Now, they give this person, I say, what does he do? What does he do that I don't do? Give me this award too now. So when I actually got it, by that time I was giving up. Because I'm not going to do any more. So it's not going to happen. And then suddenly I just heard my name. It's so cool. But there are some things that we do. And then people do watch. And those things that we do are those things that would eventually give us the reward. But let's keep on reading. So let's go to verse 7. And so I was talking about Asa, the father of Hezekiah. And let's just read more about him. So he sends messengers. So from verse 7, he sent messengers to the guy with the name that starts with T, king of Assyria. "I am your servant and vessel. Come up and save me out of the hands of Israel." Yeah? "Who are attacking me?" So he's under attack. "And Asa took the silver of gold found in the temple of the Lord," how rude, "and in the treasuries of the royal palace, and sent it as a gift to the king of Assyria." How bad is that? That is the worst thing that anybody could do. So what he's done basically is, this guy is a man pleaser. For me to get what I need from you, I will please you. Forget God. So if you're a man pleaser, you cannot get the rewards that you need to get. If everything that you do is about pleasing somebody are not pleasing God, then you're getting yourself further and further away from being that person who will qualify for God's reward. How about him going to the wrong place for help? And that's what some of us do. There's only one place where we can come for help or go for help, and that's to God. That's to come to God and say, you know what, God, this is my issue, this is what I need to do. But when we're running around people, we're asking, how many people are you going to tell your problems to? There's so many, this year, was it too far? Sorry, I'm not used to that. Make it louder. Sorry guys. I'm talking to the guys at the box, in the box. So anyway, the more we can, the closer we are to God, the more we will do to favor him. The more we will do to show our love for him, and the less we will do to please man. For instance, in my whatever I do in this church, it's not for anybody to know or see. I do some stuff that nobody needs to know, not even Pastor Eddie, because I love God and I love this church. And I'll do anything to make my stands. And trust me on this one, I have issues that affect even my family when it comes to the church. But it doesn't matter, because I will do what I need to do. I will be in church when I need to be, and I will do everything that I need to be. My wife said to me once that, your next wife will come from church. I said, no, she can't come from church, because Tinarile Williams doesn't come to this church. So you don't have to worry. The day I come home and I say, Serena is in our church now, then be worried. But as far as she's not here, yourself, that's the only person that can take me away from you. And she's in America. And that one, to kind of hide herself away, she pretended to love somebody else and have a baby. They all pretend. Anyway, so that's the next point. And so if we go to chapter 18, the same book, 2 Kings, chapter 18, and I read from verse 1. In the third year of Hosea, son of Ela, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ezad, now that's his father, yeah, king of Judah, began to reign. So he now became the king. Okay, so he's seen everything that his dad has done, but he's now become the king. He was 25 years old when he became the king and all that. So if you go to verse 3, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. Now, David is also in the lineage of his father, right? But his father decided, you know what, you might be in that lineage, but I don't want to follow what you've done. I'd rather do what I want to do, which is a bit not great. But his son, Hezekiah, decided to make a conscious decision to do what he saw David do. Well, he didn't see what David done, because there's quite a massive gap between them. But he decided to do the right thing. And that is the most difficult thing that he could have done. For instance, when I was in my 20s, I once went out with my dad. We went to some bar place, and we were eating and having a laugh. And all his brothers, my uncles, were there, and they were all having fun. And they were talking about their wives and their ex-wives. And it suddenly dawned on me that, you know what, none of these men is married to one woman or has divorced and married somebody else, including my dad. So they were all kind of had wives, not a wife. And I was thinking, I don't want to be like that. I want to get married and get married. Even my uncle, some of you might know him, he came to my 50th party and he was talking a lot of talk. He's on his fourth wife. And I sometimes think, what do they see in this man? It's okay, I could tell him, he'll be fine. What do they see in him? I don't get it, but fourth, can you imagine? So from that time, I decided, you know what, it doesn't matter. When I get married, I'm going to stay married. So now that I am married, I do whatever I need to do to keep my home. And it's not just, this is not just because I love God or because I'm a Christian. It's not just because of that. It's because I decided that I'm going to break that. If it's a curse, I'm going to just break it. It's enough already. So I want my kids to grow up, they will know what a stable home looks like. Because my cousins, they have no idea. They have no idea. So it's a conscious effort. So sometimes when I should shout at home, I just eat burger. Sometimes when I should make some noise, I just go to the gym. So there's so many things that I do to kind of keep things, because I've decided that this year we turned 20, so I'm doing well. If there's any one of them that has 20, 5, 6, 7, it's all gone. 10 tops. But it's a conscious effort. And this guy did the same thing. It's a conscious effort. Do you know, today, I've decided I am not ever going to go back the way my father did. Those things that I saw my father do, I have decided in me not to do them. So if you go to verse 5, and Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, there was no one like him among, can you imagine? So he set a standard. He kind of started what others couldn't. So there was no one like him, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands of the Lord and the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. Obviously, he was successful in whatever he undertook. Now, what I like about him here is, because this is, no, forget the fact that he has a father who did whatever he did. That means the whole country, the whole nation rather, would have been doing that as well, because that's what their king does. So if their king was an idol worshiper, they would be in the main. So the whole, it's not just him or his family, but it's the entire kingdom. But this guy decided to be different. Now, if we want to earnestly get God's reward, want to seek him earnestly, we need to be different. We need to be able to stand up and say, you know, this is my faith, this is the God I worship, and wherever we are, people need to know us by that. Be it at work, be it anywhere you go to, the fact that you're a Christian should not be a hidden factor. I went to the gym a few weeks ago, in last month. Well, that's not the last time I went, but I'm giving an example of what happens when I went in January. So there's this guy in my gym. He's the biggest guy in the gym, the most muscular. I mean, Daniel looks skinny compared to this guy. It's really big. And we got talking. Now, apart from being big, he's covered, apart from his face, he's covered from neck downwards in tattoo. And he's massive, and he's always in vests. So he's a scary dude. He's not one of the best-looking good guys around either. So you could imagine how scary he is. But anyway, we got talking. So we were talking, and he was walking out, and we were saying a lot of stuff. And then he said that, you know, he's happy about his muscles, and he's really glad that he works out and he gets big. And however, his stomach is a problem. He needs to get rid of his stomach. And then he said he's done all sorts, but he's now trying intermittent fasting. So I said, okay, that's good. Funny enough, I'm fasting as well. And then he stepped back and looked at me. I said, really? I said, yeah. He said, why? I said, because it's a spiritual journey. I said, oh, are you a Muslim? I said, no. They do their fast later. This one is a Christian fast, which my church called. So, oh, okay. Yeah, it's a 21-day fast. So, and I'm backing on it. So I'm fasting. I just threw it in. I said, wow, so you're a Christian? I said, yes. So we continued talking. And then he was doing this exercise for his triceps. So he was pulling this thing down. And it was kind of heavy, I think. So he put it down. You know those idiots in the gym that just make so much noise? So then he said, so when he finished, then I said, can I can I have a go? And then he looks at me again. And then he looked at the machine and said, can I reduce the weight? I said, no, no, no. Leave the weight. I will do it without your, you know, just leave the weight. And I stood there and I did. And I looked at him thinking, I don't know that noise. And then, anyway, we kept on talking, and then we did exercises together. You know, he would do a set, I would do a set, and then I walked away. I kid you not, I walked around where he was a few minutes later, and he was talking to another guy. Every word he said, every sentence, every three words, one was a swear word. So every sentence, one was a swear word. I just kept on, the atmosphere was all blue. And I was thinking, this guy spoke to me for like 40 minutes. Not once did he do that. So what's the difference? He knew from the beginning that that's a no-no. And I'm proud of that. And actually, he told me something while we were talking. He said one day he was, when I told him I was a Christian, he said he went somewhere to meet his missus. And he, while he was waiting, somebody came to him and said, oh, you know, if you come with me, there's a place around the corner where we're serving tea and coffee, and I would love you to come and meet my... And he said, who are you? He said, it's a church. And he said he was very impressed. He said he was very impressed because he's a scary bloke, he knows, and people don't come to him at all. So for this Christian person to come to him, and I was really proud, thinking, yeah, you see, we're actually good people. So, but it takes somebody who truly believes in what they're doing, somebody who is committed, somebody who is not ashamed to say, you know what, I could be working with you guys, we could be gallivanting together, we could meet up in the gym, it doesn't matter, I am who I am, and that's the way it's going to remain. And let people see you confess that. Until that happens, getting that reward gets further and further. Sorry, I'm looking at the time. Glasses, man. Oh, they're just not good. Anyway, so if we and verse 8, 18, that's chapter 18, verse 8. From the watchtower to the fortified city, he defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory. So he did so much. He did exactly the opposite of what his father did. He did so many amazing things, okay? But was it all good? Was everything good for this guy? Was it all rosy? You know, he's coming, he's become king, he's defeated so many army, he's done wonderful things, he's set the right example, he's followed God. But despite that, did things get a bit rocky? If we go to verse 13, in the 14th, so it's 2 Kings 18, verse 13. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah, of Hezekiah's reign, the guy with the name starting with S, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. Yeah? So Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent his message to the king of Assyria, I have done wrong. Withdraw from me, and I will pay whatever you demand. So he too fell into almost his father's way. Things got a bit rocky. And things are not necessarily all great, despite our good intention. Now, you might not believe this, but I do work hard. If you employ me, you'll probably be impressed. I'm a hard-working dude. And I worked for a company for a very long time. And I had to go through a lot of issues. I should have left a long time ago, but I was getting a bit stale. So it got really bad to the extent that I got suspended for some silly thing. And when I got back to work, about 2 years later, we eventually had to part ways. So I started 2017 jobless. So I was jobless for a few months before I got back. Now, during that time, it was a good opportunity for me to give excuses. You know, I really can't be bothered doing all this stuff because, you know, I've got my own headache. Now, it's kind of funny because at this time, my daughter decided to go to university. So, expenses got a bit bigger, and there was no income, and it's not from me anyway. So it was very, very difficult. And if that was not enough, because I turned 50 last year, I thought, you know, let me bounce to the doctors and do a general checkup, see if I'm going to live another 50 years. So I went there, big mistake. I got there, the guy looked at me, everything seemed okay, but there's this growth inside you. So we need to do various tests, which I'm still doing now, can you imagine? Since last year. And it's kind of a headache. I remember the first time I went to see this guy, I got a call in the evening, and the person at the other end said, this is wherever from Gateway, I think they're called Gateway actually, clinic. The doctor wants to see you tomorrow morning. Ah. How do you sleep? I don't want to see you tomorrow morning. Ah, who did I offend? Why do you want to see me? He said, no, we tell you when you come. Ah, some people are wicked, I'm telling you. So I kind of went to my missus and said, you want to see me? The truth is, I tell my daughters this, yeah. If I die tonight, it's okay. But when I don't die slowly, that's the bits I don't. So killing me slowly doesn't do my government any good whatsoever. So I kind of got to the guy the next day and he said, there's this little thing inside you, we need to do some checks. So they did that over and over and over again. I would say no, do it again. They would say no. I would say yes, do it again. And they're still doing it now. So I went through all that last year. And it was really, really hard. But despite that, if I don't tell you now, you won't know. I'll just do what I need to do. I'll come to do church thing. I'll do the family thing. I'll just pretend nothing is happening. Obviously, within that, there are prayers and, just praying that everything will be okay. But that didn't stop me from doing what I needed to do. So when I see, and this I could say confidently, people give excuses because of what they're going through. I'm like, really? 2017, if I could take an eraser, I'll just wipe it off the map. I'll leave my birthday. That was good. But everything else, it wasn't great. But I continued to do what I had to do. I remember one day, Boston came to me and said, what's your problem now? Don't you go to work? Because he sees my car in front of my house. I felt like punching him. But because I'm a good guy. So this guy too had his bad time. Despite all the wonderful things that he's done, I really can't see the time. Oh, okay. So despite all the wonderful things that he's done, he did have some challenges as well. But through those challenges, it's not the time to deny God or to do less for God, or to worship God a bit less, or to give yourself excuses. If anything, it's time to do more. It's time to work harder. It's time to give yourself more. It's time to seek God more. Maybe it's an opportunity to actually go back and look at what you've been missing already, things that you haven't done right that you could readdress. We all will come through times that are not particularly great. But those are not the times for us to just take a step back. It's time for us to move forward and continue to worship God, continue to do those things that we'll be blessed by. Okay, so if I go to chapter 19, we're almost there, chapter 19. And a lot of things happened, like I said. But if you go to chapter 19, when King Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes and put sackcloth and went to the temple of the Lord. There's some times when this is where to come to, the temple of the Lord. I remember some years ago, my mom was very ill, very, very ill. It was bad. My mom is very strong, was a very, very strong woman. Mentally and physically strong. And for me to have to lift her into the bath. It's kind of heart-wrenching. It's very bad. Has to help her to get into the bath, to have a shower, and then to make sure she's okay every minute. I had to take time off work just to take care of her. It was just seeing her getting to that stage was heartbreaking. I didn't know what to do. She went to hospital. They didn't know what was wrong with her. So one day, I said, you know, enough already. Just enough. I'm going to come to church in the morning, 6 o'clock. We used to do 6 o'clock prayers then. I'll come to church in the morning. Before I get back, get dressed. I'm taking you somewhere. She was like, why are you taking me? It doesn't matter. You just get dressed. And then I put her into my car and then drove her back to church. So we finished the prayers. I drove back home. I used to bring pastors then, dropped them home, went home, literally put my mom in my car, and then she was asking, where am I going to? Am I going to your pastor so they can pray for me? I said, no, they're in bed. We're coming to church. So I got to church, I had the key, opened the door, and I just brought her here. I said, okay. I know I'm your son, but you know, this has to be done. So just kneel down, and I'm going to pray for you. So I got my anointing oil, just pour it on her. I prayed, God, please. What was wrong with this woman? Just take it away. Soon after that, for those of you who have been here long enough, she celebrated her 70th. You would never know that she was that unwell. God touched her in an amazing way. There's no issue that you bring here that God will not answer. You do the things that you need to do, obviously. Some of the things I've spoken about tonight. And you bring it to God, and God will do amazing things. Now, this is not a story. This is not something that I read in a book. I'm talking about my mom. So, this is what he did. When things had now gone to the extent where there was no control, you know what, yeah? Let's go back to God. And that's exactly what he did. So, if I jump to, because of time, verse 14. So chapter 19, verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And basically, the same thing, prayers, just prayers, prayers. I have two girls. My first girl did her 11 plus. I wasn't really interested in 11 plus. It didn't mean anything to me. But the mom was very particular. So I thought, okay, just let's do this 11 plus thing. And she did, and she passed very well. And she got admitted to grammar school. And then my baby girl, who is 4 years, I think 4.5 years younger, now I was petrified for her. Not because she's not clever, but I would not be the father of a girl who goes to grammar school, 2 girls, one goes to grammar school and the other one doesn't. I would want to give both of them the best opportunity. If the first one didn't pass, it wouldn't bother me. But now that she's passed, the other one has to pass. So, when the first one was doing her 11 plus, I didn't get involved. The mother would shout at her, I would even be begging, please now, let my baby go to bed. When it was the time for the baby, I would almost punch her. It was so bad. I would say, we're going to read together. So I would sit down with her. We should be reading, and I would just slip off. I look up and are you still there? Now, after all that, on the day of the exam, the mother took her, I always take them to the exam. The mother took her to this exam place, and she told me where it was. So, okay, so it's now time for the real thing. So I took her driving, and we just missed the way. I did not know where I was going. I kid you not, I was in tears. I jumped out of the car, shouted, God, please help me. What would I tell anybody? That she didn't pass because of me? I jumped out, not to ask people where this place was. God, please, where is this school? Wilmington Grammar School, wherever it's called. Show me where this school is. I do not know. I kid you not. I do not have any idea how I parked my car in front of that school. Everybody has gone in. And I was pretending to her, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. And then we got there eventually. I just said, just go in. And when I went to pick her up, I asked her, so how did you go? Now my big girl will always say, oh, daddy was good. It was, you know, she's like me, very, very expressive. She said, there's one question I didn't get right. You sure you did well? Yes. Praise God. That day, I knew, just God. Even I didn't know before. Because I don't know how I got there. So sometimes, that is when one push comes to shove, and where do you go to? And you look up, and then you cry, and you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised how wonderful God is. And then 20, then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent a message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I have heard your prayer concerning... God will always hear prayers, but there's work that we need to do. And now, bringing this to a conclusion, let's go back to where we started from. So, in those days, which is 20, in those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. And the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him. This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover. Let's put this into practice. This guy was already sick. So I've seen sick people. So probably he's in bed, lying down, energy gone. No life left, just a little bit. Lying there, and then this prophet bounces in. I say, hi, King. And then they do a bounce. The prophet goes, and then the king, hi, prophet. And says, how are you doing? I say, don't answer, King. I could see how you're doing already. However, I've got some news for you. You're going to die. You're going to die. And not just you're going to die. After you die, you will not recover. So you die first, and you recover. So if you have any hope in your head that you're going to wake up, it's a lie. So let me just tell you now, you're dead and dead. You could imagine the sadness this guy will feel. That he's not just going to die, but he's going to die properly. So what did he do? He said, okay, I've heard you. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. This is the key part. Remember, Lord, how I have worked before you faithfully. God has something to remember. Yeah. What if he did have something to remember? So everything that I've said tonight, what if it happened to me, if I hadn't got anything to say, God, when I was going through trouble, I still served you. If I don't have that to say, then what would I ask God to be remembering? He said, remember what I have done. I have worked before you faithfully with wholehearted devotion, and I've done what is good in your eye. And he wept bitterly. Before the man left the middle of the court, I don't know how big that court was, he turned back. Sometimes you ask for your reward. You ask for reward because of what you've done. Not because of what you're going to do, how much you can pray, but because of what you've done. The question is, what are you going to do? So let me just say this quickly. Asking for reward. Every Saturday, I'll go for a run. We do church run. If you can join us tomorrow morning, 7:30, please do. This is an advert, free advert. Join us 7:30. It's very nice. It's going to be dry tomorrow. You will love it. Ask Pastor Angela. She loves it. So come tomorrow and join us from 7:30. We'll get here for 7:20. Anyway, so every Saturday I do this run, and then I go and do park run. Park run is quite fun, but it could be hard. Now, I've told a few people to join me on park run, and they have. So one Saturday in December, when it was freezing cold, I did park run, and I ran like a madman. When I finished, I got to the place where the finishing line, and I was out of breath. I remember this lady asking me, are you okay? And I was like, yes, but I need to sit down. It was hard that day. Now, I get a reward every Saturday, because by 11 o'clock, between 11 and 12, I would get a text message saying, you ran today, you did this time in this position. And I really expect that. That's my reward. It makes me happy every Saturday. I know it sounds sad, but it makes me happy. So this Saturday, I sat down there, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, no text. Maybe they have technical issues. 2 o'clock, no text. Okay. At 8 o'clock, I was watching Take Me Out with my girls. And then I just remembered, I had no text today. What happened? I did run. I definitely ran. So I went to their website and I checked the names. So they, what they do, they write the names of everybody that ran, and then you can see your position and all that. So I looked up there, my name wasn't there. Okay, maybe in the middle, maybe at the bottom. I couldn't find my name. Let me look again. So I looked, and at the top, one of the top runners, I saw Eddie Idwoze. So, I thought, I know some people are spiritual, but this is taking the biscuits. How did he run? He didn't. The guy gave up on me many months ago. So, how did he do this? I scratched my head. I turned to my girls, help me. You know your pastor's name. This is your pastor's name, right? How did he get here? Then I thought, do you know what happened? When I got Pastor Eddie to come and join me, I caught a token for him as well. And I put it in my car in case he comes and runs and he forgets his. So that day, I think I took his by mistake and they scanned it. This man will not get my reward. So I called them quick. I said, I beg, can I have my reward back? This is my barcode number. Can you swap it for this man? He's in bed when I ran. God bless you.